kit, systemic analysis, and a complimentary holistic physician consultation. Plus, we offer a money-back guarantee and payment plan options. Dermabright Clinic is also proud to sponsor several local charities and emphasizes sustainability and chemical-free practices.
For more information, check out Dermabright Clinic on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Pinterest, and more. Or check out our website at dermabrightclinic.com.
And you are tuned into CITR 101.9 FM. It is 1 o'clock. It is time for Scald's Hall. I am your host, Brian McDonald, and it is time for a couple of radio dramas. We're going to start off with one of the new suspense series by John Elzadek and Dana Perry Hayes, which we heard the interview for earlier this morning. So why don't we get started?
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense. Of all the myriad life forms on Earth, none have held such a place of reverence in human culture as trees. In Norse mythology, it was the world tree Yggdrasil that supported all of creation. A tree of life figured prominently in religions from Assyria to China, Egypt to India, even in Christianity and Judaism. Talking trees were a frequent source of wise counsel, such as the Greek oak of Dodona and the Hindu tree of the sun and the moon. But not all tree spirits were friendly. Tales of trees inhabited by demons or jinn are part of many religions. Even today, there are entire forests reputed to be haunted and which are assiduously avoided. These beliefs touch on something very primal. If you've ever been lost in the woods as sunset approaches, the fear that grips you is akin to what our prehistoric ancestors would have felt. For at the core of each myth is some kernel of truth.
Will you hurry up, Loretta? Come on! The train leaves in 5 minutes! Do you have the tickets?
Tickets? Of course I have the tickets. Let's grab the bags and shake a leg.
Last call for the 620 Keystone Express to New York City with stops in Trenton, Princeton Junction, and Newark.
Let's go! We missed this one and we'll have to wait till 10 o'clock.
All aboard.
Hurry!
Find an empty cabin. Made it.
Yeah, sure. We're home free now.
Will you put a sock in it, Vi? Anyway, it's your fault we're in this fix.
My fault? You were the one who was supposed to keep the guard distracted.
How was I supposed to know he'd be more interested in grabbing a sandwich than chatting me up?
Well, who could blame him? Just look at you. Your seams aren't even straight.
Oh, and you're the height of fashion with that gaudy bag of yours? What's in that thing, anyway?
My mother always told me to carry a jar of cold cream in my purse, just in case some fella ever got fresh.
Well, that guard's not going to be getting fresh with anybody from now on.
Do you really think we killed him?
We? We didn't kill anybody. You were the one who hit him with your purse.
So, it would have been better to just let him call the cops on us? Can you see the headlines? Bank heist thwarted. Gal tellers arrested for pulling inside job. Oh, that'd be just swell.
Look, Vi, what's done is done. Now we gotta hightail it to Canada before they find the body and start putting two and two together.
Yeah, but Loretta, we're probably making too much out of it. I mean, no one saw us there except the guard, right? And he ain't talking. Maybe we got nothing to worry about.
Do you want to stick around and find out?
No.
All right, then. Look, we won't get to New York till almost 10, and then it's another 12 hours to Montreal, so we should try to get some rest, okay?
Okay.
We should sit side by side with our bags close to us, especially this one. We've gotten ourselves into a real pickle for this 100 grand, and I'm not about to lose it now.
Right, Loretta.
Now leaving Sarasota Springs. Next stop, Ticonderoga, New York.
Did you get a gander at the old bird who just got on? Dog under one arm, suitcase under the other, and books everywhere else.
Yeah, what a character. Good thing this train's deserted, or else we'd have to worry about her setting up shop here.
Don't jinx us. Oh, too late.
Oh, good heavens. Please excuse the clutter, but I left my hotel in such a hurry. You, be a dear and fetch my satchel, would you?
Sure.
And help me with these books.
Of course.
And give me the package of treaties in the outside pocket.
What? Just do it.
This is Bobby. Say hello to the nice girls, Bobby. Now, let's get ourselves properly introduced. Bobby, may I present... Why? I've forgotten your names.
We haven't introduced ourselves yet.
Well, is it any wonder I've forgotten?
She's Lois. I'm Lois Smith, and this is my cousin Mary. Mary Smith.
Charmed. I am Dorothy McIntyre, but you may call me Dottie. Everyone else does.
I'll bet they do.
Jeez it. Pleased to meet you, Dottie.
Why, is there a little treaty for Bobby in your purse, dear?
Not unless he likes cold cream.
Jeez it, Vi. So, what brings you out on a train at this hour of night? You certainly do have a lot of books.
Why, adventure, of course. Wayne and I. Wayne is my late husband. Used to love to travel around the globe. He was a professor of anthropology, and I'm carrying on his studies. Currently, I'm doing research into the folklore of pre-American Indian culture in this region.
Pre-American Indian?
Why, yes, dear. The Northeast is rife with legends that predate the Mohawk, Delaware, Cayuga, or any other tribe. Legends of eldritch creatures that prehistoric man both worshipped and feared. In fact, the very region we're entering now is said to be the lair of one of the most powerful of these entities, the Black Goat.
A goat? They were afraid of a goat?
Shh. You were saying about the Black Goat?
Oh, it wasn't really a goat. That was just a name given to describe the indescribable. The Black Goat with 1,000 young. The entity was also known as Shub-Niggurath, a fertility goddess extensively worshipped in prehistoric times. But it wasn't the Black Goat that man feared. It was her young.
Her young? What about them?
They were described as some nightmarish caricature of trees, with pitch-black tentacles and gaping maws and stumpy hooved legs. Seemingly unbound by any laws of nature, The Dark Young was said to have the stench of an open grave, and woe be to any poor unfortunate who fell into their slimy clutches.
Oh, I think I'm going to be sick.
Goodness, child, you're shaking like a leaf.
Oh, I'm fine. It's just...
She's just been a bit ill, is all. Perhaps we should go grab a bite to eat in the dining car.
Yeah, I probably just need to eat, that's all.
Can we get you anything, Dottie?
Oh, no, no, no. Go on, girl. Bobby and I have brought our own treaty. Haven't we, Bobby? Haven't we, baby?
All right, we'll be back in a few minutes, Dottie.
Believe that crazy old bat? Honestly, Loretta, I'm about to jump out of my own skin.
Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
Keep your voice down, Vi. Oh, come on, let's grab a sandwich and a pop. You ready to march back into the lion's den? Look, with any luck, she's fallen asleep by now.
With the luck we've been having, she'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, all ready to tell us more about goats that aren't goats and slimy monster trees.
Yippee.
How close to schedule are we? Just got a message from Glen Falls. The police there are going to be searching the train. They're looking for two girls they think are aboard. Right.
Oh my God. Did you hear that?
They know we're aboard. What are we gonna do? Well?
We have to get off the train now.
What? But it's not stopping until Glen Falls, and the police will be there waiting for us.
Oh, we could pull the emergency stop cord, but the cops would know right where to start their search. No, that won't work. We're gonna have to jump off the train while it's still moving.
Are you off your rocker? Jump off the train like a couple of hobos?
Look, we have two choices. We either stay on here, in which case we're in jail by sunrise, or we jump the train and we take our chances.
Now I really am gonna be sick.
And we're not just looking at jail time. We could get the chair.
But what about our bags? We should at least get those.
We don't have time to waste. Besides, we got the loot with us. That's all that matters. Come on!
Loretta! The train's going so fast! We'll get killed if we jump off!
We're coming to a hill! The train will slow down going up. When we get to the top, jump!
But...
when you hit the ground, roll with it. You know, like Gene Autry does when he jumps off his horse.
Okay.
We're going uphill now. On the count of three. One. Two. Three. Ah! Bye? Bye? Are you okay? What is it?
My ankle. I think I twisted it.
Can you walk?
Yeah. Just hurts is all.
Here, put your arm around me.
So, what do we do? Follow the tracks back to Saratoga Springs?
No. Along the tracks is the first place they'll search for us. And anyway, if the Glen Falls police are on the lookout, so are the ones in Saratoga Springs.
Then what do?
We head east till we hit a road. Then we hitch from there.
Loretta, we don't even know where the nearest road is. We're in the middle of nowhere. In the middle of the night. And in heels to boot.
Bet you don't care if my seams are straight now. Look, we're going to get out of this. But we have to be strong. Let's lose the heels. We'll make better time without them. And we should wrap that ankle with something. Is that better?
Yeah, it does help. Thanks, Loretta.
Sure thing.
Oh! I guess that old broad spooked us pretty good, huh? We're acting like a couple of ninnies. Come on. We can do this.
Yeah, let's get moving. With any luck, we'll be hitching our way north in a couple of hours.
Yeah, but the way our luck's been going today...
Shh, don't jinx us! Besides, we really need to get moving. Looks like some nasty fog's rolling in.
Loretta, we're lost, aren't we?
We're not lost.
How can you say we're not lost? We can't even see the moon anymore. And I swear, we've gone past this big rock before.
Let's just take a rest and get our bearings.
We have no idea where we are. Maybe we should wait for the fog to clear.
We don't have time, Vi. The police could be on our tails right this very minute. What if they have bloodhounds? No, we have to keep moving. The fog is bound to clear up soon.
But what's the point if we're just going in circles, Loretta? And anyway, this place gives me the willies.
Ah, that crazy old bat still has you spooked. Okay, it gives me the willies too.
Have you noticed how quiet it is?
Yeah. Not a bird, not an owl. Even the crickets have stopped chirping.
And that smell. What is it?
I don't know, but it's sickening. Like decay. Death.
Hey, is it just me or is that stench getting worse? Loretta?
We should get moving.
It's so queer. See how it writhes? It's like it's climbing right up that tree. Wait, did you see that?
See what?
The tree, it moved!
Sure it did, Vi. Next you'll be telling me that it has pitch black tentacles and a gaping maw.
But I could have sworn.
Look, we're both exhausted, so it's not surprising that...
Loretta, do you smell that? That stench is getting even stronger.
And we're not moving.
Which means it's...
coming towards us.
That tree! It is moving! The old lady, that legend, it's true.
Forget about that, Vi, just run!
Oh, look! There's another one!
Come on, this way! Look out!
No! No! You won't get me! Maybe I can double back. Hide behind those rocks. Oh, God. Oh, God. Keep going, please. God, please. Let them keep going. No! Oh, oh! You won't get me! You won't get me!
It's okay, miss. You're safe now.
They're coming! Let go of me!
What in the world? Who's coming, miss?
Oh, it's the trees! The trees! Let me go!
Call the hospital. This one's a candidate for the booby hatch.
You think this is one of the girls from the train?
No, those were just kids run away from home, but this...
Oh my God, they're here! No!
What in the world?
No!
So ends Forest of the Dark Unbound by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was written especially for Suspense by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Catherine Kamei was Vi. Elizabeth Grayson was Loretta. Dana Perry Hayes was Dottie McIntyre. Damon Krall was the station agent. Rocky Serta was the conductor. Eric Kelly was Highway Patrolman Number 1. And Johnny Francis Wolfe was Highway Patrolman Number 2. I'm your host, Damon Krall. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
Conservation is the first and best resource option for BC. Do your part. Turn off the lights when you leave a room, and unplug your cell phone charger when charging is complete. Visit bchydro.com to find out more ways you can make a difference. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Mysterious character who aids the forces of law and order is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. The Shadow uses his hypnotic power to cloud men's minds so that they cannot see him. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the unseen voice of the Shadow belongs. Today's story, The Precipice Called Death. Mist and fog shroud the moonless night in a mantle of revenge. A small, grotesque man, his mind clothed in the dark memory of hate, gazes piercingly into the dull, lifeless eyes of a gigantic hulk of a man who stands beside him. Tense and stupefied, the giant lives.
You know what to do. I've trained you well. Your mind is mine to command. Your tremendous strength is mine to command. Now, after all these years, the moment has come to taste the sweet fruits of revenge. Do you understand?
Yes. Yes, master.
You are to hear no voice but mine. You are to do nothing but what I command you. You are to kill those I have named.
Kill. Yes, master.
You're ready now. Ready to do my bidding. Good. The precipice called death waits with yawning jaws to receive the first victim. Let your mind hear these words. Kill. 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 Kill.
Kill. Kill.
Now go.
Kill. 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 Kill.
My revenge begins!
Kill.
Commissioner Weston, you've got to save me from Margot.
What?
But, mister, he promised that he'd eat carrots all this week, and now he's trying to get out of it.
Carrots, Miss Lane?
Well, is there anything wrong in that, Commissioner?
No, no, I like carrots.
Yes, but how would you like to eat them 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, and nothing else? Commissioner, I've eaten so many raw carrots in the last 3 days, I feel like Peter Rabbit.
What is all this?
Margot, she's off on some crazy notion about health diets. This week she has me on carrots. Next week it'll be spinach, and heaven only knows where to end.
Pardon me.
Yeah, certainly.
Hello? Huh? Okay, Cardona, send him in. I'll see him.
You want us to leave, Commissioner?
No, no, stick around. This is just routine. Some guy that thinks he's being...
Mr. Weston, may I come in, please?
Yeah, yes, yes, come ahead.
John Reynolds. Well, aren't you going to say hello?
Margot, how are you? I didn't notice.
Well, I'm here too, John.
Well, hello, Lamont.
How are you?
Commissioner Weston.
Well, you all know each other.
Oh, yes, we're old friends. Well, tell me, John, where have you been keeping yourself?
Well, I...
What are you doing here?
Commissioner Weston, I need help. I tried to tell you on the phone. There was an attempted murder at my house last night.
Murder?
Now, look, Mr. Reynolds. I just got through reading the report on that business at your place last night. The man who entered your home was no more murderer than I am.
He wanted to kill my wife.
The report says it was the maid who was almost strangled.
I know, but that was a mistake. The killer thought...
Wait a minute. It's an old story to me. Burglar enters house. Someone sees him and yells, and he gets scared.
But this man was a giant, a killer.
Oh, sure. It's always a giant or a killer or a mob when people are scared.
I tell you, I saw the man myself as he escaped.
Yeah.
A mountain of a man. Just as the maid described him when she regained consciousness.
Well, then the maid wasn't killed.
No, fortunately she wasn't.
I tell you, it was a burglar. He got scared when the maid saw him and tried to stifle her screams. She thought she was being strangled, that's all.
Reynolds, why should anyone want to kill your wife?
To get back...
Well, no reason I can think of.
Maybe I'm just... Lamont, what do you think?
I don't know, Reynolds.
Now, look, Mr. Reynolds... You go on home and don't worry.
Lamont, look.
Just a moment, Margot. Reynolds, I'm inclined to think that the commissioner's right. You should go home.
No doubt about it. Whoever that prowler was, he's probably so scared he'll never come near your house again.
Lamont.
Margot, please, will you be quiet?
Of course, if he ever does come back...
Oh,
dear,
I dropped my handbag.
Oh, I'll pick it up. I'll get it for you.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Here you are.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds.
Now, Mr. Reynolds, I guess that's about all I can do for you.
Sorry I disturbed you, Commissioner, but... Naturally, I would.
Yes, don't mention it. It's, that's what we're here for. If the man comes back, why, you call us and we'll send some men over.
Yes, of course. Thank you. Nice seeing you again, Lamont.
Thank you.
I think I'd better be going. Goodbye.
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 Don't worry.
Come on, Lamont, we'd better be going, too. It's time for lunch. And I know the sweetest little health restaurant.
Yes, I know. Carrots again. So long, Commissioner.
I wish the waiter would hurry. I'm starving.
Yeah. Margot, I saw you deliberately throw your handbag on the floor in Weston's office. Why did you do it?
I was trying to tell you something, but you wouldn't listen to me. Did you notice anything particularly about Reynolds' behavior?
What do you mean?
He was twisting and crumpling a piece of paper in his hands.
Oh, so what? He was nervous.
That's why I threw my handbag on the floor.
Because he was nervous? Margot, I don't get it.
But I did.
What?
I had a hunch about that piece of paper, and now I've got it. In the confusion of picking up the contents of my handbag...
Margot!
Mr. Reynolds didn't notice that I took the note away from him.
You mean you took... Honestly, Margot, you do the darndest
thing... Well, just see what's written on that piece of paper, Lamont.
Huh? Okay. Time is a cliff a mile high. Each step brings you closer to the precipice called death. Oh, say...
What does it mean?
I don't know. The precipice called death. I can't figure it out.
Come on, it's Mr. Shrevey.
Huh? Oh, Shrevey, the cab driver. Oh, waiter. Wait. It's all right. He's a friend of ours.
What? Oh, excuse me, sir.
Certainly. I told you they're friends, I told you. Hiya, Mr. Cranston. Hiya, Miss Lane.
Well, Shrevey, how did you know we were here?
Well, I seen you get into your car in front of the police station, so I followed you in my cab. I followed you. You was driving like crazy you was driving.
Not so loud, Shrevey, not so loud. It was Miss Lane driving, Shrevey. What can we do for you?
Mr. Cranston, I got a problem I got.
Oh, yes?
Now, look, you got culture. So I says to myself, if you was Mr. Cranston, what would he do? I mean, what would I do?
Well, what would he do, Shrevey?
That's just it. I don't know. I asked myself, but I get no answer, I get.
What's bothering you, Shrevey?
Well, last week, I'm driving a drunk all the way down to Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah?
When I get there, he ain't got the fare he ate. So I up and slugs him. And now it's on my conscience it's on.
Oh, Shrevey.
Well, what do you want me to do, Shrevey?
Well, I got qualms, I got. And what I want to know is, did I do right to slug him, did I?
I really don't know, Shrevey.
How do you like that? He don't know and he got culture. Is that what a gent would do, Miss Lane?
Shrevey, a gentleman is one who does not unnecessarily hurt another. And if you think what you did was necessary...
That's it was necessary. You know, Miss Lane, that eases my quandary.
Shrevey, how would you like a chance to make up that fare you didn't get?
There ain't that much money.
Be at my apartment tonight with your cab.
Where are we going with?
I'll tell you when you get there. Be there at, let's say 10:30.
Okay, I'll be there with belts on, I'll be. I mean, with my cab. So long, Miss Lane.
So long, Shrevey.
So long, Mr. Cranston. I mean, boss, I mean.
Goodbye, Shrevey.
Where are we going tonight?
No, Margot. Where am I going?
That's what I said. Where are we going?
I'm not taking you along, Margot. This warning note to Reynolds has got me thinking. I'd like to find out what is meant by the precipice called death.
You think there's something more than what Reynolds has told? Something he's left unsaid?
Yes, Margot. And tonight, the Shadow is going to find out exactly what that is.
Wind.
John, come over by the fire, dear. Stop staring out the window.
Doesn't the wind ever bother you, Carol?
Now, darling, don't be so nervous. Remember what Commissioner Weston told you.
Yes, yes, I know, but anything would happen to you or the children.
Nothing's going to happen to us. The man was just a prowler, as the Commissioner said. He won't come back.
I wish I could believe that.
Is there anything you haven't told me?
Carolyn, have I been a good husband to you?
Of course, John. I married you because I loved you. And that love has grown stronger with the years we've been together.
You know that I've been fair with everybody. I've never tried to cheat anyone. I never took anything that didn't belong to me. Never done anything that you or the children would be ashamed of. Isn't that right, Carolyn? That's right, isn't it?
Why, yes, John. You speak as if...
I know. As if I had something on my conscience.
Tell me, John.
Carolyn... I've had a feeling, a premonition.
A premonition?
First time I've wondered if it wasn't a mistake making our home here in this isolated mountain lodge. Away from everybody. Only a forest of huge black trees for neighbors.
But you always thought it was so beautiful here.
Carolyn, we must get away from this place. There's danger here and death.
Oh, no, it's only your nerves, darling. That incident last night has upset you.
We must get away for your sake and the children's.
All right, dear. Anything you say. Now, why don't you go to bed and get some sleep?
No, I'll sit here for a while in front of the fire.
Well, don't sit up too late.
I won't, dear.
Good night, dear.
Good night.
And don't worry.
Mr. Reynolds.
What? Who is it? I can't see anyone. That voice.
It's the Shadow, Mr. Reynolds. You can't see me because I've cast a mist over your mind.
What do you want of me, Shadow?
What is the meaning of this threatening note?
Note?
What is the precipice called death?
Please, don't ask me.
You must tell me. If you're innocent, Mr. Reynolds, I'll try to help you.
If you only could, there's so little time.
What is it?
Yes. Yes, it's driving me mad. I've got to tell somebody. Help me. Help me before it's too late. 15 years ago, before I married my wife, I had a partner, my chemical laboratory.
John!
My wife!
John!
I knew it would come again.
Quick, we must go to work.
Carolyn! This is her room. The door's locked on the inside.
Break it down.
Carolyn! Darling! Darling, speak to me. Please. Yes.
Reynolds, your wife is dead.
No. No, speak to me, darling.
Reynolds, the killer left another note. Companions of the doomed are first to go over the precipice called death.
Reynolds have on his conscience? And why was his wife killed? What's the tie-up?
I don't know, Margot. The whole household rushed to Mrs. Reynolds' room, and before I could get Reynolds alone, the police arrived.
Then you still don't know what's behind those mysterious notes?
No. Now the police have accused Reynolds of his wife's murder.
certainly looks bad for him.
Weston, in his own blundering way, is convinced that Reynolds is guilty.
Well, what are you going to do about it, Lamont?
Margot, the Shadow is going to Weston's office and get this straightened out once and for all.
Well, Reynolds, where are these notes you talk about?
I told you, Commissioner Weston, the Shadow has them.
Still sticking to that story, eh? Why don't you stop this lying, Reynolds?
I'm innocent, I tell you, that's the truth.
You planned the whole thing very carefully. But not enough to fool me.
Well, you've got to believe me. I loved my wife.
You came to me with a cock and bull story about your maid being strangled by a prowler. That prowler was you.
If you'll just listen to me.
You cooked up the whole business to establish an alibi for yourself. We've got you dead to rights and you know it.
Oh, you've got to listen to me. Do anything you please to me. Now that Carolyn's dead, I don't care about myself, but you've got to let me protect my children. This thing isn't over yet. My children are in danger.
Reynolds, you're not convincing me at all with that sob stuff about your children. Cardona.
Yes, Commissioner Weston.
Put Reynolds back in his cell.
Right, Chief.
You've got to protect my children. The killer will get them, too.
Come on.
You're making a mistake, Weston. I'm innocent, I tell you. I'm innocent.
That's what they all say. That's a horrible business.
Yes, Commissioner Weston. And it would be even more horrible if you sent an innocent man to his death.
What? Who is it?
It's the Shadow, Commissioner. Surely you remember me.
Oh, the Shadow, yes. What are you doing here?
I've come to save you from making a terrible mistake. Reynolds is not the murderer. I was with him at the time his wife was strangled to death.
Yeah, he said you were with him, but I didn't believe him. Now, what do you want me to do?
Send Reynolds home. We'll bait the trap for the murderer. And the Shadow will trail him alone.
Ah, no go, Shadow. I don't believe it. What about those notes that Reynolds said he gave you?
He was telling the truth, Commissioner. Read them for yourself. I put them on your desk.
Huh? Oh, yes, here they are. Companions of the Doomed. Precipice called death. By heaven, Shadow, I'll do it.
Hey, Mr. Cranston, why are we driving out here for a while? There ain't nobody out here on the road, sir, ain't? Gee, it's kind of what they call spiritual. You know, the spiritual.
Shrevey, look in your rear vision mirror. What do you see?
I don't see nothing. Nothing I don't see.
There's a car following us.
Huh? Yeah, there certainly is, certainly.
Pull up to the side of the road. Let it pass.
Huh? Oh, okay, boss. You know, Mr. Cranston, I don't like the idea coming out to this Reynolds place I don't like. This guy Reynolds bumped off his wife he bumped.
Reynolds didn't kill his wife, Sweevey.
Well, whether he did or ain't, it's none of my business, it ain't. That's for the police to figure out. Or for that guy that calls himself the Shadow, he calls himself.
Shrevey.
Let me.
When you took this job, you promised not to ask questions.
Yeah, I know, but I just hate to see a gent like you get mixed up with the wrong kind of mugs. I mean, environment.
Shrevey. The car's slowing down. We were being followed.
Lamont, is that you?
Hey, it's Miss Lane. It's Miss Lane, hey.
Margot. Why are you following us?
Lamont, you're up to something, and you're not going to leave me out of it.
Margot, if you aren't... Well, as long as you're here, you may as well come along. Follow us in your car. Let's go, Shrevey.
But we're here, boss. The Reynolds joint is right up this private driveway, right up.
What? Oh, so it is. Then wait for me here, Margot. You too, Shrevey.
Oh, Lamont, you're not going to leave me here in this lonely place?
Well, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yes, Margot, you've got Shrevey for a bodyguard.
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am.
But if it'll make you feel any safer, take my revolver. Here.
Thanks. I hope I won't need it.
Hey, Mr. Cranston. Ain't that a car hidden in them bushes over there? I mean, off the road off.
Yes, so it is. Perhaps Reynolds already has the visitor he was expecting. I hope I'm not too late.
I must get the children out of this house to a place of safety as soon as possible. Who's there?
Don't you recognize me after all these years, John Reynolds?
Tom Vito, but you...
No, my good friend, I'm not dead. Even though you've tried your best to kill me.
No. No, it was an accident. You slipped in that
slip. Slipped? Cliff. Accident?
Yes, it was an accident, I swear.
And I don't believe you. Well, you're going to pay for that. You've already begun to pay.
It really was you, Vito. You killed Carolyn.
Companions of the Doomed are first to go over the precipice called death.
You murderer! What's wrong with me? My heart.
heart attack. How nice. How convenient. I had intended to kill you immediately, but now you'll be able to see and hear everything that happens. Everything that I planned to make your pain more exquisite, your torture more unendurable, before I kill you.
Why'd you murder Carolyn? You loved her once.
Because you loved her. She chose you in preference to me, and now she's dead.
You're mad, Vito, mad.
Yeah, well, perhaps I am. How interesting to be mad and know it. I've waited a long time for this moment. Tell me, Reynolds, now that your wife is dead, what do you love more than anything else?
No, you wouldn't.
Your two children. They lie asleep upstairs in the nursery.
Please, do whatever you will with me, but don't harm them.
What would you give to save them,
Everything I possess. Please, Vito, you
Everything can't. You possess, huh? Everything you stole from me?
Listen to me, Vito. When you fell from that cliff...
When you threw me...
Please listen to me. I was your partner. Naturally, I inherited the rights to the formula.
My formula. The product of my brain. Oh, yes. You've had everything. Fortune. Fame. The woman I loved. Everything that should have belonged to me. How did you achieve all this? Huh? Just by a simple little push.
Oh.
Well, now I'm going to have my revenge on you by destroying everything you love, and then by destroying you.
Vito.
Look. Look into the garden there. Through the French doors. What do you see standing there?
A giant. A monster.
Yes, the giant whose will I control. One minute I'm going to call him in. I'm going to send him up the stairs for your children. And then...
And what then, Dr. Vitor?
Who spoke?
Men call me the Shadow, Dr. Vitor. I fight crime and injustice.
Shadow? Oh, thank heaven you've
come. I can't see you.
I've cast a hypnotic mist over your mind, Vitor. I've come to stop your evil work.
Well, you can't stop me. Giant! Giant, come, come, your master's in danger.
Giant.
Yes, now we'll see which of us is stronger. I can't see a shadow, but this giant can, because he's already hypnotized by me. He can see you. You're not invisible to him.
Stop, giant. Stop,
your
I say.
It's only me, Shadow. Kill the shadow. Kill. Kill. Kill.
Shadow, stop him! Stop him!
He's closing in on you, Shadow. Kill. He can see you. Kill. Soon your career will be ended.
Mr. Reynolds!
Kill.
Mr. Reynolds!
Hey!
Kill. Hey, isn't anybody home?
Who's that?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I've The giant! Wow! Oh,
Miss Lane, shoot that gun!
I can't! It isn't loaded! Wow, it was loaded!
He got a shot. Look! The giant stopped.
Oh. Giant? You're no longer controlled by Vitor. The hypnosis has dropped from you.
I hate him. He make me kill. I don't want to kill. I hate him. I hate him. He make me kill. I kill him.
Giant, stop.
Too late, Shadow. Vitor's dead.
Just a minute.
Hello, Margot.
Oh, Lamont, come on in.
Sure.
Ooh, what's in that box?
Margot, I have in this box a slight token of my appreciation. You saved my life and
Oh, what's in it? Flowers?
No, don't be impatient. Seriously, Margot, if you hadn't come in at that moment,
Oh, so at last you admit that I'm some help to you, huh?
I most certainly do. But what I want to know is, why did you come in after I told you to stay in the car with Shrevey?
Well, Shrevey examined the gun you left with me and said, hey, this gat ain't loaded, it ain't.
That was a lucky thing that it was.
Yes, I aimed at the giant.
And hit Vitor. What a shot.
Say, Lamont, what are the police going to do about the giant?
I don't know, Margot, but it's obvious that he was merely an instrument of Vitor's revenge. They really have no case against him. As far as Reynolds is concerned, it was definitely established that Vitor had slipped over the crypt.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I feel sorry for him.
Well, I just dropped in for a minute. I'd better run along.
Hey, wait! Why'd you have him give me my present?
Oh, yes, here's the box. Here, Margot. Open it.
All right. Ooh, I bet it's orchids. Why, it's a rabbit!
Yes, Margot, a rabbit. He's your new companion at those carrot banquets of yours. I'm going back to steaks.
This program is based on a story copyrighted by The Shadow Magazine. The characters, names, places, and plot are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. The Shadow magazine is on sale at your local newsstand.
It's a stressful time of year, which means it's more important than ever to take good care of yourself. Take this moment to feel good. Follow along with this mini meditation and reduce stress quickly. Breathe in and hold for 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exhale slowly. Breathe in once more and hold for 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exhale slowly. Visit students.ubc.ca/feelgood for other ways to live well, feel good, and achieve success.
How do you like my ball club, Lou?
Hey, all those people going to be at the game today?
Certainly.
Oh, this is going to be a whopper of a game.
Well, it should be.
Hey, yeah, but what? I understand they made you the manager of this here baseball team.
Why not?
So you're the manager?
I'm the manager.
Well, you know, I'd like to know some of the guys' names on the team, so when I meet them on the street or in the ballpark, I'll be able to say hello to those people.
Why, sure, I'll introduce you to the boys. They give them funny names, though, Lou.
Oh, I know they give those ball players all for funny names.
Let's see, on the team we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
You the manager?
Yes.
You know the guy's name?
I should.
Well, then tell me the guy's name.
I say who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
You the manager?
And then yes.
You know the guy's name?
I'm telling you their names.
Well, who's on first?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I'm asking you.
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you.
You ain't telling me nothing. I'm asking you who's on first.
That's it.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first base.
That's his name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me? I'm asking you who's on first.
That's it.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
That's it.
What's the guy's name on first?
No, what's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
That's what I'm asking you.
No,
who's on first?
Don't change the place.
I'm not changing nobody. I ask you a simple question. What's the guy's name on first base?
What's the guy's name on second
base? I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. Now, we're not talking about him.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Yes.
Then tell me the fellow's name playing first.
Who?
The guy playing first.
That's his name.
Wait. What's the guy's name on first base?
Why, there's the guy's name on second base.
Who's playing second?
Who's playing first?
I don't know.
He's on third base. What's the matter with you, can't you?
Look, when you pay off the first baseman every month, who do you pay the money to?
Every dollar.
Yeah. Look, you got to pay the money to somebody on first base,
yeah.
Are you? Does she give you a receipt?
Sure.
How does he sign a receipt?
Who?
The guy that you give the money to.
Who?
The guy you give the money to.
That's how he signed.
That's how who signed it?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
When you give the guy the money, don't he have to sign a receipt?
He does, Lou.
Well, how does he sign his name?
Who?
The guy you give the money to. You dope. You just don't give money to somebody without him giving you a receipt.
So who signs it?
What are you asking me?
I'm telling you.
Well, go ahead, tell me. What's the guy's name that signs the receipt on first
base? Wait a minute. What signs his own receipt?
Who signs his own receipt?
No, who signs his?
I'm asking you, when the guy on first base gives you a piece of paper,
yes,
he puts his name on it.
So who puts his name on it? What?
How does the fellow's name on first base look to you when he signs his name?
Who?
To you.
That's how it does.
How does it look to you?
Who?
To you.
Who?
To you.
Who?
Look, when the guy signs his name, how does it look to you?
Look, that's how it looks.
Who? I'm asking you, what's the guy's name on first base to give the money to?
Who? After all, the man's entitled to it.
Who is?
Yes. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yeah, sure.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
Well, he's on second base.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. He's third base. I know that. You got an outfield?
Sure.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask you.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
Because.
Oh, the center field. Oh. You know these players as well.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's left name and left field.
Now, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. You got a pitcher on the team?
Wouldn't this be a fine team without a pitcher?
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You know what? Tell me the date.
I'm telling you, Lou.
Then go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now, listen. Who is?
I'll break your arm, you say who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know. Third base. You got a catcher?
Sure.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today. You don't want to tell me today, tomorrow, do you?
I'm telling you.
So the catcher's name?
Today.
Today, and tomorrow's pitching.
Now you've got it.
Now I got it.
Boy, I got it. Now.
All we got is a couple of days on
well,
the team.
I can't help that.
All right, you know, now I'm a good catcher. Now I get behind a plate, and tomorrow's pitching on my team, and a heavy hitter gets up.
Yes.
Now when he gets up, me being a good catcher, I'm going to throw the guy out at first base. So the guy fronts the ball. I pick up the ball. I'm going to throw the guy out at first base. So I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
That's all you
that's
have.
All I do is throw the ball to first base. Now, who's got it?
Naturally. Now, you got it.
If I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get the ball. Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to Naturally.
No, no,
he
no,
gets
no,
the
no,
ball.
No,
naturally no. gets the ball and naturally.
You throw the ball to first base.
Then who gets it?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to Naturally.
No.
Naturally
no.
gets the ball and...
You throw the ball to whom?
Naturally.
That's
what I'm saying.
You're not saying it. Wait.
I said I throw the ball to Naturally.
No, you don't.
I throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's what I'm saying. I throw the ball to first base. Somebody's got to get
so
it.
So who gets it?
Naturally. That's okay. Now I ask you, who gets it?
Naturally.
Same as you.
No, it's not.
I throw the ball to Naturally.
You throw the ball to who?
Then who gets it?
Naturally.
He better get it. So I throw the ball to first base. Uh-huh. Whoever it is drops the ball and the guy runs to second. Now, who picks up the ball and throws it to what? Yes. What throws it to, I don't know. I don't know, throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Could be.
And now that guy gets up and hits a long fly ball to be caught.
Yes.
Why? I don't know. He's on third, and I don't give a darn.
What'd you say?
I said I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's a shortstop.
Now, for our more dreadful sacrifice.
Down.
The music you're listening to is completely electronic.
Only a fool would ignore this.
I'd like to demonstrate for you some of the rather more weird kinds of sounds.
See how relaxed you're getting?
Every Sunday night at 7 o'clock here on CITR 101.9 FM is More Than Human. Your weekly guide to all that is new, weird and wonderful in the world of electronic music. So please join me, Gareth Moses, for electronic music old and new, inane comments and the occasional sacrifice. More Than Human on CITR.
And welcome back to us here at Scald's Hall at CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. We're coming up on just a minute or so before 2 o'clock. Coming up next, we have Radio Zero with Tyler and Cam. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned and enjoy your weekend. And we will be back next week with our one-year anniversary here on Scald's Hall. Excuse me. So that'll be kind of fun. Have a good weekend then. Goodbye.
Jazz is a word that means many different things.